afternoon. This House Resources Committee is now convened. It is about 5 minutes after 1. Here today for the record is Representative Whitaker, Harris, Morgan, Mr. Vice Chair Cowdery, and myself, Co-Chairman Hudson. My co-chairman that ordinarily has responsibility for this area in the Resources Committee is has apparently not been able to get out of Anchorage. My understanding there's a blizzard up there or something, so.
Get out of Willow, probably.
Out of, up north at any rate. And so today we're going to take up House Bill 359 and then following that, Senate Bill 266 on anti-fouling paint. So we'll start out with House Bill 359. And for the record, we've been joined by Representative Kapsner and Jewell. And testifying on, we're taking up House Bill 359 first, which is the Administrative Appeals for Oil and Gas. And Mr. Loeffler from DNR, I understand you're going to give us a walk through this bill. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman. And with me also is Jim Hansen from the Division of Oil and Gas. My name, for the record, is Bob Loeffler. I'm the director of the Division of Mining, Land, and Water. If you're ready, I'll begin.
We're ready for you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'll take about 2 or 3 minutes of your time working with Jim Hansen to explain the bill. The bill really does 2 things. First, it provides for a uniform appeal process for the Department of Natural Resources. And second, the bill fixes a technical error which sometimes confuses the public with respect to oil and gas notices. Before I describe this bill, let me describe the problem that this bill fixes. Right now, the appeal process in the Department of Natural Resources is split between Title 38 and the Administrative Procedures Act. And those requirements, passed at different times, tend to create duplicative and overlapping requirements that apply to different things. So as a result, 2 things happen. First, we have an appeals process where someone, frankly, gets multiple bites at the apple for the same issue. That is, they can appeal, in most cases, from a line person's decision to the director, then the commissioner, and then they can ask for reconsideration by the commissioner. This multiple bites, frankly, takes up a lot of time, but frequently has little public benefit. This bill fixes that by creating a uniform appeal where you get one appeal to the commissioner, and that's it. The second problem is that different appeals apply to different types of decisions. That is, disposals, you only get one bite of the apple. Non-disposals, you get multiple bites, and the timelines are slightly different. This creates a problem partially because everyone is slightly confused, the public especially. But second, it's a problem when you have a project which has multiple permits, some are disposals, some are not. Then you have to tell the public, well, if you're saying this, you have this appeal rights, but if you're saying that, it goes to this person. And that complicates matters for everyone. So what this bill does is it creates a straightforward administrative appeal process. You appeal it to the commissioner, and you have 20 days to do so. The second problem, and I believe that uniform appeal process will be better for the public, certainly better for my staff, who's sometimes confused, and take somewhat less time by everybody. The second problem is a technical error in oil and gas notice. And for that, I'm going to turn over the description to Jim Hansen, who's lease manager for the Division of Oil and Gas.
Thank you, Bob. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, what Section 4 of this bill does is repeal noticing under .945A3B. A number of years ago, the 945 notice statute was changed to require preliminary best interest finding prior to an oil and gas lease sale. And there's a noticing requirement for that finding. When that was done, they left in the requirement to notice a final written finding. The final written finding is noticed at the same time the preliminary finding is noticed. But by leaving this A3B in the law, it requires us 3 days prior to issuing the final finding to issue another notice saying we're issuing a final finding. At the time the finding is issued, we at that time issue a notice of sale. So essentially the public has the preliminary finding notice and the notice of sale to let them know that there is going to be a sale. The notice of there's going to be issued a finding to us is kind of an unnecessary expense. It costs in excess of $5,000 up to $10,000 to do these notices. And just to let people know there's a final finding coming out 30 days prior to it when they've already been informed 90 days prior to it to us is unnecessary, which is why we believe this specific statute should be repealed. Okay. If there's any questions on that, I'll be more than happy to answer.
Thank you, Mr. Hansen. Are there any questions from the committee members to either Mr. Loeffler or Mr. Jim Hansen? Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, could you explain the 1994 law that you that the confusing aspect of that again? Maybe I missed a little bit of that.
When that law was passed, it required the Division of Oil and the Department of Natural Resources to issue a preliminary written finding prior to an oil and gas lease sale, which we do at least 180 days prior to the sale. When we issue that preliminary finding, we must notice it. That's the law now. When we do that, we also inform the public that when the final finding will be coming out after the public comment period. So they've already had notice that there is a final finding coming out. They've had notice that there is a sale being proposed. So by having another notice 30 days prior to the final finding to us is unnecessary because it already has been noticed to everybody. It just is something when they added in the requirement for preliminary, they forgot to take out the fact that the requirement for noticing a final because it's no longer necessary to do.
Okay, thank you. Oh,
you're
right. I understand it now.
Yeah. Any other questions to the Chair of Oil and Gas? Mr. Whitaker, I noticed that this bill does not go to the Oil and Gas Committee. Since this is an area in your purview, I thought perhaps if you had any questions or any comments at this stage.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have none. I had spoken with the speaker previously regarding this bill. It is a purely administrative function, and I have no objection to it.
All right. Thank you very much. Are there any other any individuals in the audience that wish to testify on this bill on 359? Anybody on net that has not signed up to testify that desires to testify on House Bill 359? Forever documented. All right, then, and I have no, I view this as largely a streamlining process, getting rid of what looks to be duplicative reporting, and so for me, I don't have any problem with this. The chair would entertain a motion. Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah, I'd like to make a motion to move House Bill number 359 out of committee to next committee of referral with individual recommendations and the official fiscal note.
Are there any objections? None. 359 is moved out with individual recommendations, zero fiscal note. Thank you all, and please sign that one. Next, I would like to go to Senate Bill 266, which is Senator Lauren Lehman's anti-fouling bill, and I believe we have Lauren's number one first-grade top-quality assistant here to present this bill to us.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Nice to have you here.
I appreciate that. For the record, Annette Kreitzer, staff of Senator Lauren Lehman, I'm flattered by your introduction. Thank you very much. Senate Bill 266, the Alaska legislature outlawed the use of TBT-based paints in 1987, anticipating the federal Organotin Anti-Fouling Paint Control Act. Alaska law made exception for vessels of the U.S. government, foreign vessels in state waters fewer than 90 consecutive days, and vessels of 4,000 gross tons or more. Senate Bill 266 phases these exemptions from law, effective 2001, putting these vessels in the same class as small boat owners who had to meet the ban in 1987. The Resources Committee substitute does not allow repainting between 2001 and 2003, when the International Maritime Organization ban is expected to take effect. In other words, on the international level, there is already a move to ban TBT-based paint from these vessels, but their ban would take effect in 2003. Alaska's stand under 266 would just be more aggressive. Industry testimony in the Senate was that the January 1st, 2001 deadline would still allow companies that have pre-purchased their paint the opportunity to use that paint. It would not cause a financial hardship. We, in anticipation of introducing the legislation, contacted the Alaska Marine Highway. They do not use TBT-based paint. Northwest Cruise Ship Association, John Hansen, who is the president, I believe, is online to testify that although some of the ships are still using TBT-based paint, they will be TBT-based paint free by the International Maritime Organization phase-out date of 2003, and also they will be able to meet the 2001 deadline in this bill. We contacted Holland America. They are using TBT-based paints. They will be able to meet the IMO deadline. U.S. Coast Guard, there is a representative here. Lieutenant Commander John Bingaman will speak to the U.S. Coast Guard and what's happening on the international level. Spoke with Newport Petroleum. They are TBT. They're a barge line that brings in quite a lot of freight into the state. They are TBT-free. U.S. Navy, they do not use TBT-based paint anymore. As far as the large oil tankers, ARCO, they will meet the IMO deadline. You have a letter in your packet from John Sullivan talking about the fact that they in fact, took, I think, delivery of TBT-based paint a couple weeks ago, but they're still going to be able to meet this 2001 deadline. Exxon, Brian Dunphy, says their tankers are TBT-free. BP Amoco, John Ringstead, Government Affairs, says they are not using TBT-based paint. Penn Air, because the Goose aircraft are considered vessels under current law, they do not use TBT-based paint. And Dr. John Kelly, who is representative to the International Maritime Organization Committee and is the representative of International Paint Company, which provides TBT-based paint to 50% of the world's tonnage, I believe, is also online to answer technical questions about TBT-based paint if you so desire to ask. And if you have any questions about the legislation, Mr. Chairman, try to answer them.
Thank you, Annette. Any questions of Ms. Kreitzer at this moment? All right. Then we will go. I think it's off, Matt. Is that correct? Representative Jewell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And, after the deadline for using this stuff, how do you know that people are in compliance? Are they issued certificates or that would be there for inspection?
Through the chair, Representative Jewell. Between 2001 and 2003, the enforcement activity would really be on DEC, and it's something that we will address with them in the budget process. Basically, it would be a civil action, civil penalty. And DEC anticipates that, like what the U.S. Coast Guard has, is a certificate. When a ship comes into Alaska waters, they have to fill out all kinds of paperwork, and this would be one more piece of paperwork that they would have to fill out, whether or not they use TBT-based paint.
And also, I might add, from my experience, every vessel, when it leaves the yard, has to be inspected. And so any laws that are outstanding at that point in time would also be noted on the certificate of inspection. Is that right, Commander?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
At least it was when I was in your seat. All right. Any other questions? Anybody on the committee have any questions of Annette. All right, then I have, I guess off net, I have John Hansen and John Kelly both on this bill. Mr. Hansen, are you there, sir?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am.
All right, do you have some testimony on House Bill 266?
I do, and I'll be very brief, Mr. Chairman. My name is John Hansen. I'm president of the Northwest Cruise Ship Association. The NWCA is an association that represents the 8 cruise lines sailing to Alaska, largely from Vancouver. And the companies that are represented are Holland America, Carnival, Norwegian Cruise Lines, Princess Cruises, Celebrity, Royal Caribbean, World Explorer, and Crystal Cruises. And this year, there will be a ninth, and that'll be Radisson Seven Seas operating a brand new ship in the service. This summer, these companies will operate a total of 22 ships, roughly between the middle of May to the end of September. Now, these cruise ships operate in a vast number of different jurisdictions around the world, and by best estimate, over 100 countries. And here in North America alone, probably more than 25 states and provinces. So because they operate in so many different jurisdictions, largely the safety and environmental standards are established and agreed upon by international agreements through the International Maritime Organization, IMO. And the IMO has deliberated extensively over the last few years over anti-fouling paints and a lot over the concerns raised about the TBT paints. Our member lines agree with and comply with the IMO regulations involving the gradual replacement of TBT paints. And we believe that Senator Lehman's bill is an important affirmation of this commitment. So we support the bill as amended by the committee substitute to parallel the IMO regulations. Back to dates. As mentioned earlier, the applicable date would be January 1st, 2001, and that's 2 years ahead of the IMO date. And I have verified with our member lines that this does not cause a problem. So overall, Mr. Chairman, we support the bill, and I'd be pleased to respond to any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hansen. Mr. Hansen, I might ask a question. Since you're dealing in both U.S. and Canadian waters, does Canadian law restrict the use of TBT paint at the present time?
At the present time, I don't believe there is a restriction of this sort. But the IMO regulations, as they will apply, will certainly be applicable in Canadian waters as well.
All right. Thank you very much. Any questions of Mr. Hansen, Mr. Vice Chair?
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with various products. Recently, I would say in the last 8-10 years, there's been some new products out for painting the bottoms of small boats, I know, and I don't know if they use them on that large one. And like CRS products or Trilux products and everything, it's quite expensive. I think it runs about $180 a gallon. And it kind of acts like soap. You put it on and it washes off as you move through the water, only it does look just very, very thin where you put it. I know I've had it on my boat and for the last 5 years or so. I was just wondering, is this this thing that's washing off, is that any danger to the environment that you know, or is it that approved? I believe it's a non-tin base, or it's a tin-free paint, too. Maybe I don't know if you know too much about this, but I was just interested to know.
Well, I don't know much about the chemistry of paint, and perhaps Mr. Kelly, who I believe is on the line, maybe he can respond to that better than I can.
Yes,
what I can say is that right now, by my count, approximately half the ships in half the cruise ships in Alaska do not use TBT paint, and consistent with this bill, there'll be no new application of TBT after January 1st.
Mr. Vice Chair, follow up.
Just as a curiosity, how often do you have to repaint the bottoms of your ships, your cruise ships?
Roughly once every 3 years.
3 years. Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Henson, can you paint over the TVT-based paints that might be on the hull now with the newer restrictive paints?
Yes, there are some paints that will paint satisfactorily over TBT. And again, with respect to the chemistry, we may want to hear from the expert, but my understanding is that there are some that lend themselves to painting over and some not so readily.
All right, thank you very much. There's no other questions of you. Mr. Henson, thank you very much. I'd now like to have John Kelly.
Yeah.
If you're here, John, could you testify on the bill? Did you wish to testify?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is John Kelly. I'm Technical Director for International Pay for North America, and I'd like to make a couple of comments in answer to the questions that were asked before. All antifoulings that are used in the U.S. or Canada have to be registered with the U.S. or Canada, whichever country they're going to be used in. And at the moment, the U.S. and Canadian regulations allow application of 10 antifoulings which have a particular low release rate. That would answer one of the first questions. The other question was about the Trilux antifouling. Yes, it does release copper into the water, but it all the antifoulings that are used in Alaska are registered with the US EPA and then with the state of Alaska. And then a comment on the IMO regulations, which I think you're aware of, but the proposal is that as from the 1st of January 2003, no further 10 applications will be allowed. And then there's proposed to be a five-year period to allow any vessels which have tin on to get the life out of the tin, and then by January 1, 2008, there should be no exposed tin on those vessels. And there are various discussions going on about whether the tin should be blasted off or whether it can be overcoated. And I think there are systems around now which can be applied directly to the tin antifoulings, which will prevent tin being released into the environment if the cost of the removal at that particular time is too expensive for an owner to bear. But there will be no exposed tin on any vessels after that day. And yes, we do support your bill. You've obviously contacted all the people who voyage into Alaskan waters, and we are proponents and agree with the proposal. If anyone has any more questions on a technical basis.
Mr. Kelly, let me just check to see if anybody around the table had any, if that stirred any questions or if it answered the questions. I think you've answered at least some that the vice chair have asked. I appreciate that. Is there anyone at the table that has a question of Mr. Kelly? I don't hear any questions here, John, so I want to thank you very much for your testimony. Did you wish to testify, Commander?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to address any questions. Captain Ed Page, the Chief of Marine Safety for Alaska, addressed a prior committee, and in that he stated that this bill does not directly affect the Coast Guard nor naval vessels, as we do not use a tin-based anti-fouling paint. And that internationally, the Coast Guard works and is the direct representative for the United States to IMO, and we work through through that international body to address international shipping regulations, of which the TBT-based anti-fouling paint is being discussed at present. And they recently met about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and the report that I got is that they made significant progress towards developing the regulations, but that would not be discussed until October of 2001 at their next proposed meeting. But I'd be happy to address any questions that you or other committee members may have.
Other committee members have any questions? Mm-hmm. guess not, Commander. Thank you very much.
Nice to see you here today.
Easy today.
On Whitaker to leave.
Nobody's going to object.
We need his.
Nobody's going to object.
Huh?
Nobody's going to object.
No, but we have to, when we take a motion, we have to have a quorum.
We got a quorum. He's not left.
He's
all right.
Left.
The chair would entertain a motion. Vice chair.
Yeah. I would like to make a motion to move, what is it? Community substitute for Senate Bill 266 resources?
Yes.
To the next committee of referral with individual recommendations and a zero fiscal note and ask for unanimous consent.
Are there any objections for the movement of this bill? Hearing none, this bill is also moved from committee to the next committee of record with the zero fiscal note. I believe that's everything we have on our agenda today. Let me look real quickly here. The next meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, March 30th. no more laughing in here. We don't have fun. We don't want to have any more fun.
Are you telling jokes, Liz?
No, it was
right. I made a motion to adjourn, Mr.
All right. If everybody would please sign the advance sheet here, and we're hereby adjourned.